Greetings one more time, friends and neighbors. It's Pastor Bob coming at you from Owen's Kitchen in Lexington, Kentucky. And there he is, himself, doing a little dance this morning, so we won't interrupt him. Hi, Owie. On with the story. And today we're finishing up the story of the beginning of the mission, which yesterday we heard the start of, and I'll backtrack a little bit, a paragraph or so, and then finish off this story. Jesus story number 7, the beginning of the mission. All right. From yesterday, you remember Jesus just scattered the temple and the money changers. Now many Jews were angry with Jesus for having done these things. It had become their custom to barter thus within the temple court, for it was convenient for worshipers to have their animals for sacrifice, and the money changers with their half shekels so very near at hand. They could see nothing wrong with what they had been doing. Besides, this man who had driven them out was a stranger to them. Who was he, they ask each other, that he assumed authority to do such things? And we pick up today. No one seemed able to tell them who he was. They went to Jesus themselves. What sign will you show to us to prove you have a right to do such things? They demanded angrily. This sign will I give you, Jesus said. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. 3 days, said the Jews. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it in 3 days? Their anger changed to mockery, and they turned away. But Jesus had not been talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He had been talking about the temple of his body and predicting his own death and destruction. This was a sign indeed, if the Jews had only thought about it. But they did not think. While he was at the Passover festival in Jerusalem, Jesus began to teach and show other signs that made many people believe he most surely must be the Son of God. The Pharisees, however, were not among his believers. Most of them were proud and stiff-necked people who were convinced that only they and the scribes of the priesthood were capable of understanding and interpreting the laws of God. They refused to admit that either John or Jesus could have been sent by God to show not only the multitudes, but the Pharisees themselves, the error of their ways. To them, the teachings of Jesus were wrong, and the believers in Jesus had allowed themselves to be misled. But among the Pharisees was a man named Nicodemus, a rich man and a leader in his community, and he came secretly to Jesus by night to talk to him. Master, he said, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no man could do these miracles that you do unless God were with him. And he told Jesus how strongly he desired to be a true believer and enter the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, Jesus answered him, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I do not understand, said Nicodemus. How can a man be born again when he was already old? Can he be a baby for a second time and be born twice from his mother? That was not what Jesus meant. To be born again is to become as pure as a child, he explained. It is the spirit, not the body, which must be born anew. For that which is born of the flesh is only flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I say unto you that if a man is not born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But he that believes and is baptized shall be born again. Then shall the Spirit of God be in his heart, and then shall he be able to enter the kingdom. And I tell you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life in the kingdom of God. They talked on into the night, and Nicodemus the Pharisee went away with much to think about. It seemed to him that this gentle Jesus must surely be the Son of God, and that his message of love and redemption was much more likely to be the truth than the rigid ritualistic teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. After these things had happened, Jesus went with his followers into the countryside of Judea. He stayed there with them for some time while they baptized certain newcomers to their ranks, for they had adopted John's practice of purifying by water. Jesus himself did not baptize, but taught among the people who came for baptism. John was baptizing not far away, at a place where there were many waters. A question concerning purification arose between some of John's disciples and a man of Judea, and this led to a discussion of the baptisms conducted by the followers of Jesus. John's disciples went to their leader and said to him, "Master, the man who was with you across the Jordan, the one to whom you yourself bore witness, behold, that same man is baptizing, and now everyone is going to him." It was not quite true that Jesus was baptizing, but it was true that people were flocking to hear him teach and be baptized by his loyal followers, thus entering into the brotherhood of those who followed Jesus. John already knew about it and was far from being jealous. He had known that this must happen. "A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven," he answered his disciples. "It is not given to me to have what Jesus has. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but he who is sent before him.' He has what I have not, but so it was intended, and I myself rejoice thereafter. My happiness is now fulfilled, for he shall grow greater and greater, and I shall grow less and less." It was true indeed that John's works were nearly done. He still preached against Herod Antipas for marrying Herodias, one-time wife of Herod's brother Philip. And though Herod himself was not greatly troubled by the prophet's words of his wife Herodias, she was steadily stoking the fire of her rage and hatred. Word went out from Galilee to Judea that John must be found at once and seized. Jesus, in the meanwhile, had left Judea and was traveling through Samaria on his way back to his own homeland of Galilee. Jews and Samaritans traditionally hated each other. Yet Jesus, the Jew, spoke to the Samaritans as he spoke to everyone, and they listened to him when he told them how to love and worship God their Father. By the time he left Samaria, there were many Samaritans who believed that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And by that time, too, John had been seized and bound. While Jesus journeyed into Galilee, John was lying in prison after once more saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." This statement he had added to a list of Herod's other evils, and it made Herodias boil with rage. "Kill him," she had screamed. But Herod would not have John killed. He knew that John was not only a righteous man, but a man with many followers. And he was afraid to put the prophet to death because of what the multitude might do. It was enough, he thought, to keep the man quiet in his prison cell. As it happened, his wife Herodias did not think it was enough, but she kept her counsel and bided her time. And that concludes Jesus Story 7, the beginning of the mission on this wonderful middle Sabbath. Tomorrow, we pick up again with Jesus Story 8, Jesus in Galilee. Until then, have a blessed day, and we'll talk at you again tomorrow.